So the previous perek, which we completed yesterday, was the perek about behima. So what is behima allowed to go out with on Shabbos? This is the perek about what people are allowed to go out with their Shabbos. It basically discusses, as you could see from the beginning, bama isha, though obviously there's going to be a lot of issues about somebody needs to quiet. Bobby, thank you. Baruch.
Sorry.
Baruch. So, everybody is concerned about the fact that the perek before should discuss the behemoths before the women. Why would that be? And again, the way that we were understanding the perek, it makes perfectly good sense. It's not so much the question of concerning the behemoths before the women. It is a completely different topic, really, even though it appears to be simply about the question of hotzah. The overall concern that we have for the idea of behemah and Shabbos is the kiyum of leman yanuach shorcha v'chamorecha. And because of that, we need to do something even before Shabbos to make sure, this is part of our hachonis for Shabbos, to make sure that when the animal is wandering around before Shabbos, it's in a state of menucha, not wearing things that we've put on it before. Hashenke, when it comes to the simple question of what is considered to be a hotzah, that's already a small, minor, so to speak, detail on how do we define what is considered to be a beget, and therefore batel to the person, and what is not a beget. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the continued hachona for the nature of Shabbos. That's what I believe. I mean, there are terutzim that the behemoth will be going out before the woman, therefore we have to make them. I really don't think that is the way to go. Anyway, let's just be mocked in one particular thing, and that is that when we're talking about a something that is bottled to a person, essentially a beged, an extension of the body, that extension of the body does not have to be a cover necessarily. In other words, a beged in that sense does not mean really only something that covers you. It could be something that you need for your health, as we saw before, which would be the general way of going out. Maybe even carrying a stick if you're lame and so on and so forth. So it certainly is not limited to covers. And we know that it also includes things that are ornamental in nature. So that leads us very much to discuss what is considered to be ornamental agabe women. And the truth is, we have no problems with any kind of ornamental with women. The real problem that our perek is built around, as we will soon see, is the old question of the chances that something are going to end up being carried in Rosh Hashanah. Now, this already had come up at the end section of the last perek. We're over there. Some of the things that we asked in the behemoths, not because of Masui, but because of the possibility that they would fall off or the person would want to carry them. In this perek, we're concerned not with the question of their falling off, but rather we are concerned with the question of their being taken off. Now, we'll see there may be numerous reasons for taking off. The most common reason is that people like to show off their jewelry. And therefore, when a woman is walking and bumps into a friend and wants to take off her new bracelet and say, here's what my husband bought me this week, and meanwhile they're walking along in Rosh Hashanah, won't realize that they're carrying Arbaimus in Rosh Hashanah. But as our Mishnah will soon tell us, there are other reasons for why we have to be choshesh that a person may end up carrying in Rosh Hashanah. So let us begin. Bama isha yotza uvameh ina yotza. So what is it that she's allowed to wear as a decoration? Well, lo teitze isha lo b'chutei tzemer v'lo b'chutei pishtan v'lo b'ritzuot shebrosha. Now, there are things that women wear. Now, there's a big machlokas here, Rashi Tosfos, where I see that it's very good for the Rebbe to be with Meir Simcha. Meir Simcha keeps him at the table, and he's excited. Now, this has got to be the new place, I think, for the Rebbe here. So Rashi learns that the issue over here is that the woman will oftentimes wind these decorative things inside of her hair, braid her hair with them, and we'll see why that's a problem. Tosfos learns we cannot be learning braids. What we're really talking about are the things that she uses to tie around her hair. Those, you know, things that they sell now, elastics mostly, cute little ribbons and so on. So that's what we're talking about over here, according to Tosfos. We'll see what this is based on. Veloti d'bolben, and she can't go to the mikveh unless she loosens them. Now, this seems to be a complete crazy non sequitur. What in the world? All of a sudden, we get back into Tyrus again. She can't go to the mikvah. We're talking about going out on Shabbos. Of course, that ends up being the key to understanding the Mishnah, as we'll see. She can't go out with totefet. Now, over here, the totefet doesn't mean wearing tefillin shel rosh, but it means wearing something similar to the tefillin shel rosh. And that is exactly wearing something which is a tzitz, like the Kohen Gadol wears. So it's very common to wear, in English, they call it a frontlet, right? The same way they call it tefillin. So it was worn right around the top of the hairline, which is the place where you would wear tefillin. So Rabbi Elchanan says that that's the reason we call it a totefet, but it was basically a gold or silver kind of ornament. You see this a lot in the old Egyptian pictures. Also, I don't know what those side things are called. Barnea would know. Barnea. What are the side things that come down very often in the queen?
I don't recall. I'll look it up.
Okay, thanks. All right, so that would be the sarbatinas we're going to be talking about later. Bisman she'einan tfurin, if they aren't sewed onto her hat. V'lo b'chavul, she can't go out with a chavul. In the end, we're going to say that a chavul is basically a cap kind of thing that goes under her hat and sticks out a little bit from under the hat. Into Rishu Sarabim, but she can go into a chotzer with these things. V'lo b'irshel zahav, v'lo b'ktalash, can't wear an irshel zahav. You remember the irshel zahav was the pretty necklace that Rabbi Akiva bought his wife. And it has a picture of Yerushalayim on it. It's still pretty popular today, actually, where it's like a necklace with some type of picture of the city that represents Yerushalayim. Velo bekatla, she can't wear a katla either. Now, katla, the word katla, means to kill, which would refer to a choker, which we'll call it in English, a choker. So she's going to choke herself to death. Now, we'll see if it's called a katla. What the problem would be. But she can't wear a katla. Maybe she'll show it to her friends. Lo benezamim, she cannot wear nose rings. And lo betabat, she'ina le'achota. She cannot wear, now these last two cases over here, v'lo b'machat she'ina le'kuva, are a little bit misleading. Because lo betabat she'ina le'achota is mashma that she can go out with a signet ring. But that's not true. A signet ring, she would be actually chayav midiraisa if she went out, because that's not considered to be decorative. That's considered to be a business ring, which you use to sign your documents or seal your envelopes or locks or whatever. So it's actually the other direction of it. The same thing is true of a needle that doesn't have a use as a sewing needle is decorative. So, you know, obviously put a little pearl on top or something, and we just stick it in. And that is only osim min rabbanan. But if it was a real sewing needle, it could be osim min yoraisa. V'im yatzat. Now, if she went out with any of the things we're talking about before, ena chayevet chatat, she's not chayevet chatas, because all of these things are basically gzeros de rabbanan, that she may end up carrying them for various reasons in the Rishus HaRabi. So we didn't aser the chotzer. That's the point. And it's mutter in the chotzer, these last things. However, we'll see that the first things in the Mishnah actually are aser, even in a chotzer. Now you'll ask, isn't that considered to be a gzeirah l'gzeirah? I mean, you can't go out in the chotzer, because maybe in the chotzer should go out in Rishus HaRabim, and in the chotzer gufa, it's considered to be only a problem. I mean, in Rishus HaRabim Gufa, it's only a problem because of the Rabbanan, that maybe she'll end up taking them off. And Biholechet Arbam is Rishus HaRabim. That, as Rashi explains over here, is basically the way in which the Gezerah was created, was to see it as an Isser of Levisha, not as an Isser of carrying. So these Levishas are also on Shabbos in order, ultimately, that she shouldn't come to carry it outside. But because of that, it's Kula Chod HaGezerah. They didn't put it in a two-step form. Ask the Gemara, what the heck is this mention about going to the mikvah doing over here? Tefillah. Mandoch HaShmah. Who the heck mentioned anything about tefillah? Omrim Nachbar Yitzchak Omer Rabba Baravua, the Mishnah, is giving you the reason for these first things. Namely, Matam lo taitse isha. Why is it that we said she's not allowed to go out with these woolen threads or with these linen threads? That's because since the Chachamim say in general, she's not allowed to go to the mikveh with these things in her hair because they will prevent the water from properly penetrating, and therefore she will have to loosen them. So since anyway, she's never allowed to go to the mikveh with these things unless she loosens them. So on Shabbos, she shouldn't go out at all. Because in the event that it turns out that she has a tefillas mitzvah to do, and there's no issur going to the mikveh on Shabbos, Shar Yelohu, she'll end up taking them off in order to be able to go to the mikveh to be mekayim that there shouldn't be a chatzitza. But then if she does that, she may forget and simply take them back with her through the Rishus HaRabim. Obviously, would also be a question. Maybe she'll end up actually walking into her house with it from Rishus HaRabim, whatever. But in other words, the general thing where we have a problem is always that it's easiest to walk our problems through Rishus HaRabim without even noticing. And that's why later on Rashi says this. That's why we always take that as an example. But I mean, the point is, it will be over on Hotzah or Hachnasa, and our problems through Rishus HaRabim is one of those forms. How about Tiki Chalilta? My. What would be the din of these hollow kinds of woven threads? I'm sure you've all seen those. They're hollow inside. They look sort of like straws. You know, you could pull them, and then like the whole weave sort of pulls tight, you know, out of shape. But you can't really tighten them. So even if you tie them, they don't ever get tight because of the fact that they're woven in that fashion. So the question over here is that also a gezerah? Because the bottom line is they are made out of the same things that the Rabbanan said. You're not allowed to weave or braid into your hair, according to Rashi, or tie your hair with, according to Tosfos. But the point is it the material that they assert, or is it the particular format which would create a problem with the penetration of water? What's the din? So Rav said to him, what are you talking about, man? You're talking about something that's arug? You don't have to talk about TK Chalilta if you're talking about something that's woven. The general rule is anything woven is not a problem, because if it's a weave, it will not tie tightly enough to prevent the water from getting into her hair. And Itmar Nam Yom Rav Unabar Rav Yeshua, Koshu Arig, anything woven is not part of this gezera, and therefore there's no problem of the woman being Matira. Now, why did Tosfos indeed say that Rashi's pshat is unacceptable, that these were things that were woven into the hair? Because weaving them into the hair creates a braid. And a braid you're not allowed to make on Shabbos or take apart on Shabbos, because it's considered to be binyan. Remember, we learned that out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presentation of Chava to Adam HaRishon. Vayiven et Atzela means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a hair permanent. And that means that this is considered to be a type of binyan. So therefore, asks Tosfos, anyway, she wouldn't be allowed to take this out on Shabbos. So what's Rashi saying? That we're worried that she's going to take him out on Shabbos? We don't make Xeris stop that people are going to be Bechal Shabbos. So therefore, he says it's talking about that it was put around the hair, and therefore could easily be taken off. By the way, you notice another fascinating thing over here? The Gemara doesn't asser earrings. It only assers nose rings. Now, I certainly would have thought that, oh, my God, it must be a real hassle to take out a nose ring. But apparently over here, Moshe, you seem to be over on that Gemara that says a hand is 1/60th of the way to falling asleep. So apparently there's no problem with wearing earrings. And the Mefarshim explained that that's because in their time, the earrings were basically covered around the bottom of the ear where they attached. They were covered with something that was attached to the hat. And therefore, she would have uncovered her hair in order to take off the earring. As we're going to see later, anything that leads to her uncovering her hair, we're not choshish that she's going to show a friend, because she's not going to cover her hair in Rishus HaRab. Anyway, continuing. Igri Amri. Now, that's the way we have Ravuna. And others say Ravuna said it a little differently. He didn't just come out with this idea that there is no machlokas about Orig. What he said was like this. That Omer of Yehuda, Omer of Unabarayda, of Yeshua, look, I can tell you that my sisters, when I was a kid and I watched my sisters going to take a shower, they never took these things out of their hair. Now, if they didn't take these things out of their hair when they were going into the shower, then obviously these things allow water in. Nobody is going to wear something that is going to prevent them from washing their hair properly. So apparently these are not problems. What's the difference whether he said openly koshu areg or whether he said I saw that my sisters didn't take him off before showering? I mean, same thing. No and no. It's a big difference. Because if Rav Huna was focusing on whether his sisters were going to be makpidot on these things and would be reluctant to leave them in their hair, then what he's saying is that the halacha is completely a function of personal hakpada. So imagine a case like this. Imagine a case where you've got these pretty ribbons in your hair, right? But the ribbons are dirty. So they got a little mud on the ribbon. Now, over there, I'm not going to be makpid on the ribbon because of the chatzitza, but I certainly am not going to go into a mikveh with a muddy ribbon to have it start dripping all over me with mud afterwards, even though it's not a problem of chatzitza. So if it's purely a din in the Rabbanan's gezera, that's something which is chotzeitz, we don't allow you to wear on Shabbos, it's not a chatzitza. We're not going to come up with a new ruling every time there's a reason that somebody wouldn't want to wear this. It's very specific. Things that are chotzeitz, you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Fine. Things that you're makbid on for another reason to go to the mikveh with, nu. Ad kedei kach, we didn't make a gezerah. Mashaken, according to the Lashon, that it has to do with their hakpada, then it's a question of each case. A case has to be determined on its merits. So ikah b'nayot de natif, and the question is if they're filthy. So according to the Lashon that says, look, it's very simple. There was no gezerah on Orig. Fine. So these are Orig. But according to the Lashon, Rav Huna said, I saw my sisters not being makbid. Well, obviously they would have been makbid. They wouldn't go and take a shower with a filthy kind of ribbon. So over there it would be aser. It's not aser. Now, we have a Mishnah in Mikvos that the following things, first the Mishnah lists all of the things that are chotzeitz on kelim, and then the Mishnah goes on to say the things that are chotzeitz on people. So, elu chotzitzim ba'adam. These are things that are considered to be a chatzitza. Chutei tzemer v'chutei pishta v'haritzuot sheberoshe habanot. Now, this is very consistent with our Mishnah. You can't go to the mikveh if you're wearing these things. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I disagree. I say that if they're made out of wool, then they allow water in. And you don't have to worry about them. You're saying chutei tzemer or aser. I agree with you about chutei pishtan, but I just want to make the point that wool is considered to be soft, and it's not going to prevent the water. Now, Reb Yehuda brings up the question of whether they're made out of hair, which Lamaisa we didn't even talk about. So why all of a sudden does he throw in hair braids that are made out of hair? That we're going to talk about shortly. Well, Reb Yehuda, but meanwhile, we have an explanation of the Mishnah by Rav Huna that you should just know that these things that we were talking about, they're talking about things that are worn on the head and dafka on the head. Says Rav Yosef, as opposed to what? Are you coming to tell me that if they're worn on the neck, let's say, that then it would not be a problem? Well, I don't understand. Why would it not be a problem? Wouldn't it be a bigger problem? I mean, tell me what material we're referring to over here. If you're telling me that if you're wearing wool around the neck, it's not a problem, how could that be? If you're telling me that I can't tie a piece of wool thread around hair, which certainly doesn't tie tightly around hair as it does around your skin, right? So if you put something around your skin, it's much more likely to be a chatzitza. So how in the world would he be saying that there it is a chatzitza, there it's not a chatzitza? Why would that be? If rachagabe kashes chotzeitz, something soft, relatively soft, wool, if it's put onto something hard, that is to say hair, it's considered to be tight enough to be chotzeitz. So koshikein, if you wear something that's soft around soft skin, it's certainly going to be a chatzitza. Ella, what are you talking about? Pishtan. I mean, it's crazy. If one hard thing, pishtan, which is harder than wool, that you tie around another hard thing, which is hair, and that's considered to be a chatzitza, then koshikein, if you would tie it around your neck, it would be a chatzitza. Ah, I'll tell you what he's saying. Yelam Rav Yosef, he meant that. Yes, he meant as opposed to wearing it around the neck. But there's a reason, Moshe, there's a reason not to wear it around the neck, and that's because she doesn't want to strangle herself. So how tight do you think she's going to tie this thing, for heaven's sake? She's got a thread. She's going to tie it tight enough to prevent the water from coming in, what, and not be able to breathe? So on the time of the Ravuna, the fisha inisha choneket at that time. A woman doesn't choke herself, and therefore we don't have to be choshesh that it's going to be a chatzitza. And if it's not a chatzitza, there's no need for her to take it off. Eitve Abaye, so Abaye says, but that's not true, because it says over here that girls are allowed to go out on Shabbos with threads that go through the holes in their ear that mommy took them out for to get their earrings put in, and now she's afraid the holes are going to close up, so she puts a thread through the hole, the earring hole, in order to keep the hole open. That's not a problem, because why would they take that out? But they cannot be wearing chabakim shebetzavareihem. They can't wear anything that has a chabak is something that you tie with a string tight around your neck. Now, if you're telling me, Rav Yosef, that we do not have to worry about anybody that would be wearing something that would be so tight that it's around the neck and it would prevent, tight enough to prevent water from getting in the event that she has to go to the mikveh. That's what you said, that she's not going to be strangling herself. Why in the world is there a problem of girls going out wearing chabakim shebetzavareihem? Am I low? They're not going to tie it that tight, are they? Omer Ravina, you don't understand what we're talking about over here. We are talking about a ketala. And a ketala is a completely different issue. We're not talking about stam, something that you are just going to tie around your neck. We are talking about a ketala. A ketala was a kind of apron, that kind of thing, a bib, I guess, more like a child's bib. So it would be considered to be a polite kind of thing to have something that would cover the front of your blouse in order that if you're eating something, it doesn't make your clothing dirty. Now, the question is, of course, this doesn't seem to be much of a question in our days, but the question is that humanity up until very recently, as anybody that has ever looked of any rodent paintings knows, that the fatter and plumper a woman is, the more attractive she is, right? So what's a poor girl going to do if she is thin? It's a disaster. Who's going to ever look at her? So what she used to do was she would wear this bib kind of thing, but she would tie it very tight in a way that made it look like she had a double chin. That way, oh, wow, she is gorgeous. Look at that fat. So because of that, we're afraid that since those things are actually made, watch out, there's a tiger nearby. What is that thing? A leopard. So they would tie it with a ritzua very tightly to get the double chin effect, but it was such a thin, such a wide ritzua that it wouldn't hurt her because it was over the whole bottom of her neck, right? So it'd be tight. So it wouldn't choke her, but it would make her look so beautiful. And of course, anybody's willing to suffer a little bit to be nice and fat, right? So because of that, it's amazing how times have changed, isn't it? So because of that, since we're talking about a katla, there's no problem. Because over there, a woman certainly will tighten it very much. Or it looks like she's choking herself. The isha choneket et atzma denechala. It's worthwhile. Shetera ekebalat basar. She looks like she's got a lot of nice fat there. And that's going to be beautiful. So there, if she has to go to the mikveh, it really will be a chatzitza. And then she may end up carrying arba ames in the rishus harabim. And this, as we said before, all of those things are gezera bichlal of levisha, even in a chatzitza. Reb Yehuda Eimer. Now, in Mikvos, we had Reb Yehuda. We didn't mention Reb Yehuda over here, but in Mikvos, we had Reb Yehuda who said, well, I disagree about Semer and about Seyar. But what is there to disagree with? They didn't say anything about Seyar, did they? The Chachamim? So, Shot Semer v'Shot Seyar ain't Chosetzim. I think that those kind of things are not going to be a problem. V'Vnei Shamayim Ba'im Behem. So, if it's very soft or it's very hard, then the water is going to be able to penetrate. It's only if it's like right in the middle, so it's pishtan, so you're able to tie it tight, and the material itself is waterproof. So because of that, you'll have a problem with the chatzitza. Om Rav Yosef, Om Rav Yudom, Shmuel, that's how we paskin. Halach is like Rav Yehuda when it comes to the issue of using a hair type of band around hair, but not the tzemer part. Om Rabbi, I understand. What do you mean the halach is like Rav Yehuda about hair? Who says that anybody ever argued on Reb Yehuda? What makes you say anybody argued? Don't paskin halacha where nobody argued. I mean, if you said that halacha is like Reb Yehuda about both Semer and Seyar, yes, then that would be very valuable. But you're telling me that halacha is about something that I never saw the Tanakhama disagreeing with? V'chi tema, Maybe you'll say, well, what do you mean? He must have argued. Otherwise, it would be a non sequitur. Why in the world would Rav Yehuda have even mentioned this Seyar if he wouldn't know that the Tanakhama argued with him? So he loved Ashmina Mitanakhama that he was also talking about Seyar together with Semer. Why would he have addressed it? He wouldn't have talked about it either. That doesn't prove anything. Maybe what Rav Yehuda was trying to say was, look, guys, you agree with me about wearing a Seyar band, that it's not going to cause a problem, right? Because it's not going to prevent water from getting in, correct? Okay, so then be moida to me as well that Semer will not prevent things from getting in because it's so soft. Maybe that's all he's saying. So that would be kishem. In other words, in the same way that you're moida. Kishem ka'amalav, in the same way. You agreed that it's okay to use hair. So then agree with me also that it's okay to use the wool. But why would you think that you have to pasken on Halacha Rav Yehuda when you don't have no real basis for suggesting that anybody ever argued with him? And in fact, it seems that Abaye is absolutely correct and that the Tanakhama was made to Rav Yehuda when it comes to Seyar, because Itmar, Om Rav Nachman, Om Hashmuel, Modim Chachamim L'Rav Yehuda B'chutei Seyar, that indeed the Tanakhama was made the whole time. There was no need to pasken like Rav Yehuda because nobody argued with Rav Yehuda. Tanya Nami, Hachi Chutei Tzemer Chotzitzim, Chutei Seyar, in Chotzitzim. So here we have a braita that speaks out that the Tanakhama does make this distinction between Seyar and Tzemer, comes along Rav Yehuda and he says, no, I disagree. I think Semer is the same thing as Seyar. So you should be made it to me the same way you agree with me about Seyar, which is exactly the way that Abaye understood the implications of Rav Yehuda addressing something that we didn't note was even there. Omrim Nachum Bar Yitzchak, look, the truth is, later on in the Perek, you could see this from the Mishnah. You don't need to bring a Braisa. Take a look at the Mishnah later. The Mishnah says, Diktani, Yotza Isha, you can go out with a shetel kind of hair that is a braid, a shetel braid or something, that she's going to tie around her own hair. And it doesn't matter whether it's her own or her friend's. So tell me who you think is the one who wrote that Mishnah, huh? You think it's Rabbi Yehuda? So then why does it say Seyar? Could have said a bigger Kiddush, even Chutei Tzemer? So afilu chutei tzemer nami. So why is it all of a sudden only being matir seyar? Ela lavra panani yushvamine b'chutei seyar lo plige. Okay, all of this proves Abaye, whether it's from the Mishnah or whether it's from the Braisa, if we didn't realize the diak in the Mishnah. And now we get to the totefet. What exactly is a totefet? Well, Rav Yosef suggests that, and we're not going to stick with this, as I mentioned to you in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef suggests that a totefet is a chumarta diktifta, that it's basically a type of kamiya kind of thing, where others learn it's a type of necklace, a pearl necklace. If you wouldn't have been sleeping with your hand on your head, you would have noted that we already mentioned the Rabbeinu Chananel that says it's called a totefet al shem tefillin. So the question over here is the purpose of that is to stop an ayin hara. So this was able to cure you if somebody had given you an ayin hara. So if that's the case, then it's a cure. And a cure you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. Remember, we had the whole thing about a kamiya. So if a kamiya is a kamiya mumcha, when obviously this type of thing is something everybody uses, it must be good. So 1 billion Chinamen can't be wrong, right? So chumarta diktifata are certainly good for getting rid of an ayin hara. So therefore, taviki kamiya mumcha v'tishtrei. So why isn't that considered to be not carrying? Because it's a kamiya. Elam revira mishmei debaya. It's a reference to an apuzainu, which is a frontlet. Tanya nami ochi yotze isha bisivacha hamuzhevet. She's allowed to go out. Now, this use of the word svacha here is very disturbing because most of the time, a svacha is a net. It's a hair net, and it's worn underneath something else, like a tichel or something that you put over the net. It's clear from the Gemara here that all of a sudden we're using the word svacha for her top hat. So it's a little bit weird that we would use svacha different ways. But in any event, over here, it's her hat. So she can go with a hat that's got these decorations made out of gold or that's made out of silver, because even though it's all very decorative, she cannot remove her hat in the middle of Shitsa Rabim to show her friend. She will not do that. And she can go out with a totefet, and now we're finally up to Barnea's research, who is now ready to tell us what the name for Sarvitit is in English, which Cleopatra wears, and so on. Please tell us.
Sorry, that piece I didn't. The chest piece is a pictorial, right? And I sent pictures of the totefet, the beautiful headpieces, but specifically with the side piece, I haven't found that term yet.
I see. Okay, but a pectoral sounds like a really big fish, so that's great. So now we've got a woman who's as fat as a whale. That's great. Okay, very good. Does it show the nice double chin under the pectoris?
The chest piece. I'm not sure the one that shows the fat. I don't know what that is.
That's the top of the pectoris. That's what it's saying. It's put around the top, and then she ties it. Yeah.
I missed this. My thesis. This was so nice.
Yeah. Oh, of course. It must have been absolutely the right kind of Barnea fat, right? Okay. Do a rewrite. It's well worth it. A lot of human interest. Okay. So she can wear, if the totefet and the sarbitin are attached to the hat, so then she won't take off her hat. Which one is called the totefet and which one is called the sarvitin? Om Rabbi Abo, the totefet goes like the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol from one me ozen to ozen, the same lotion that Rashi uses on describing the tzitz. And the sarvitin are going from the edge of the head down until her cheeks. So the Megillat Lachiyah. Om Ravuna, poor women try to wear nice things like this. I mean, they can't afford the silver and gold, but they make them out of pretty ribbons. And the rich women, they make actually silver and gold if they can afford it. They cannot go out wearing a kavul. Now, the question is, what exactly is a kavul? Because a kavul could mean two things. A kavul could mean, I forgot what the word is in English. What do you call it? It's basically a kippah, you know, but the people wear it to protect their head from the cold in the... It's like a beanie kind of thing, but it's thicker. Oh, shoot. I can't remember the word. Okay, but it's basically a kippah kind of thing. What's it called?
Baklava. They call it, something like baklava.
I mean, a baklava is a little bit more...
Kaftan.
Huh?
Kaftan.
A kaftan? That's a Hasidish one. I'm talking about a nish Hasidish one.
Is it a beret?
No, it's just like a beanie. I forgot. Okay, I'll look it up on Amazon. Anyway.
David is suggesting it's a toque, but it's not the A, that's not how it's spelled. And B, that's a toque is a woolen hat, and it usually has a pom-pom on top.
Yeah, that would be a little bit overdone. Okay, but you get the idea. Okay, so it could be a kavul, but if that was the kavul, it means it was worn underneath the hat, right? So Rabbi Yannai says, I'm not sure what this is, because the word kavul was used in two very, very different ways. So the word kavul means something that is a cable, meaning it's something that ties things together. So it could mean a beanie type of thing that keeps her hair all together underneath her head, and then it would mean... She's not allowed to go out with it, maybe because she can pull it out while holding her hat on. She can pull it out from under her hat, like a guy who's wearing a hat in the yeshiva could take his yarmulke out from under the hat without chas v'shalom taking off his hat for a minute, right? So there's that kind of thing. Or there's another meaning of kavul, which means it keeps you bound, keeps you bound. Now, what that would mean would be a kavla de'avda. Kavla de'avda would be when someone is indentured. So what they would do, what the owner would do, is he would give him a special kind of T-shirt to wear, right? You know, so I belong to, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. So it has the name of your university, or it has the name of your owner, same thing. So over there, the question is that what we're talking about? And it's saying she should not go out with a kavla like that. And so maybe, maybe according to that, it would mean that she can't wear it because maybe it's embarrassing to go out and let everybody know that I belong to Harvey Weinstein, you know. So that's a problem. So because of that, she might take it off. Okay, we'll see. But if it were just a kippah shel tzemer, so if it was that kind of beanie kind of thing, that would be okay, maybe. Or maybe it's referring to a kippah shel tzemer. And then for sure, a kavla da avda, I mean, that would be even worse, because the kippah shel tzemer, you're going to have to slide out from underneath your hat, you know? So the idea over there is that we've got a reason, as we'll see, why it is we might see the kavla da avda is not a problem because of the fact that he's going to be, if he's caught not wearing the t-shirt or whatever it is that it was done, then he can get into big trouble because then the university could throw him out. What? No advertising, no grades. So what happens then? So Amar Rabbi Avu, Mistavra Kamandi Amar Kippah Shel Tzemer. I think the Mishnah, it makes much more sense to say it's referring to the beanie. And Tanya Nami Hach, Yotza Yisha BeKavul UbeIstama LaChatzer. So she can go out wearing either a Kavul, we're going to see what an Istama is in a moment, but only to the Chatzer. She cannot go out to Rosh Hashanah. In other words, Shimon HaLazer Omer, she can go out with a kavul, even into Rosh Hashanah, because I don't think it's reasonable to say that she's going to pull out her beanie. Because I'll tell you why. Because if she pulls it out, how the heck is she going to get it back on without taking off her cap? She's not going to take it out with the idea that she's going to carry it in Rosh Hashanah, obviously. So there's no chashash. Therefore, she could go into Rosh Hashanah. And Kalal Amar Reb Shimon HaLazer, look, in general, you should just know that anything that's underneath her hat, you don't have to worry about. And she's kosher lamata min hasvacha, she's allowed to go out. Anything that's above her hat, she's not allowed to go out because that she won't have to take off. So if Reb Shimon HaLazer is saying that she can go out with a kavul because it's under the hat, then obviously he understands the kavul to be the beanie and not to be the idea of kabla da'avda. What was an istami, by the way? Oh, an istami, says Omer Rabbi Abu, that's a bizuni. Well, that's a big help. What's a bizuni? Omer Rabbi Omer Rav, that's a kalya peruche. That's a kind of like little scarf that a woman wears to catch the hairs that come out from underneath the hat. So it just shouldn't look funny. She's got like a few hairs sticking out. So you put something over there to surround the hairs. Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha Dvarim Nemru BeIstama. There were three things that are said about this thing called the Istama. First of all, there's no Isser Shatnez on it. Why? Because it isn't woven. It's basically just a pressed material, and therefore it's not Shua Tavi Venos, and it is not considered to be therefore a Beget Shatnez. And because of that, it also can't become Tomei Tzaras, because it's not called Beget Tzemra or Beget Pishtim. It's not a Beget. And furthermore, Ein Yotzim Balush Sarabi. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru, Af Einba Mishum Atarot Kalo. Remember, there was a gezera after the Churban that the beautiful types of decorations that they used to have for a kala, like an ataras, like a crown, there was no iser on this kind of things. An istama that's made out of felt, even if it was made beautifully, is not included. Only things that were more like a crown that were made out of some kind of, you know, gold, silver, at least some kind of shiny metal. Shmuel Omer, but Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, no, actually, the Mishnah is referring dafka to a kavla da'avda, but you can wear, even in Rosh Hashanah, you can wear a beanie for the reasons that we said before. She's not going to take that out. Shmuel said that, but Shmuel said that an eved is allowed to go out with a chotam that is around his neck. But he cannot go out with a chotam that's on his t-shirt. So in other words, Shmuel is the one who says that you are allowed to go out with a chotam on Shabbos. So why would he say that the woman is not allowed to go? What's the difference between the male and the female over here? I don't understand. No, that's not a problem at all. Because when Shmuel was talking about wearing the kavla, he was talking about one that was given to him by his owner, with the specific instructions not to take it off, so that everybody should know that he belongs to me. And therefore, he's scared to take it off. If he's caught not wearing it, he can get into big trouble. Masha Inke in the other din of Shmuel, where he says that our Mishnah is talking about a kavla de avda, that's talking about where she makes it for herself. So there, they said, you can't wear that because you're not proud of the fact that you're an Eved, or the woman isn't proud of the fact that she's a Shivcha. So because of that, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. What? So I understand. So then what did you say? That it's talking over, you said that the second in Shmuel that says that he is allowed to, it's talking about that his master makes it for him. So then why is the t-shirt? I don't get it. Isn't he going to be afraid? The Chotem Shebiksuto, he's not going to take it off either for the same reason. So who cares where it is? It's exactly the same. No, it's not exactly the same. I'll tell you why. And that explains also the problem of the difference over here with the male. The point over here is that if the tie on the kavla becomes loosened, so he's going to be scared that he's going to be caught without it. And if he's caught without it, they're going to claim that he took it off to hide the fact that he belongs to so-and-so. So what he'll do after is he'll take the talit that he's wearing, he'll fold it up in such a way that, you know, it looks like it was too hot to wear it, and he'll put it around his neck, and that will cover the fact that he isn't wearing his kavla. So now it'll come down over where the kavla was. But if he does that, then he's going to be over on carrying his talit around, because then it's going to Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. Don't Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. If a guy goes out with a folded talit on Shabbos over his shoulder and not wearing it, that is considered to be a chiyuv chatas, because that is not a beged. He's like, well, talis is a beged. Thanks a lot, but you're not wearing the beged. You're carrying the beged. So since over here there's a chashat that he'll cover himself up with this, because of that, we were worried. So even though Shmuel says, I for sure he's not going to go out and take it off, but if something could become detached, because it's attached to his clothing and not to his neck, then he may end up trying to cover it. V'chiyodi amar le Shmuel or Rabbi Chanina bar Shila. Shmuel actually told Rabbi Chanina bar Shila, who worked for the Reish Galuta, and anybody who worked for the Reish Galuta needed to wear a Reish Galuta t-shirt. Now, so he told him, look, everybody else that works for the Reish Galuta has got to be careful not to go out with the Sar B'lei Chatime. Do not go out wearing one of those things that's got that, you know, decoration that shows that you are part of the Reish Galuta, because then you might end up, if it gets loosened, you might end up carrying, but not you. Levar Minoch, you don't have a problem, because even if you weren't wearing it, they wouldn't have any kind of complaint about it, because you're too choshev for that, and you're very close to him. He would never think that you're trying to hide the fact that you work for him. And because of that, why would you go ahead and wear your talis over it? But anyway, whatever the story is, it shows clearly that the thing that Shmuel is telling you is that we're worried about someone who might try to cover up the fact that he does not have his proper design over him, and therefore he might carry him.